Now, tonight, we're going to be in the book of Luke, if you'll find your spot. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read a few scriptures because it leads in to where we're going tonight in our message. I never have preached this, so I don't know how it'd turn out. You pray God will use it for His honor and glory. And it may be just a little different than what we have been focusing on throughout the camp meeting, but I believe God has it for somebody. I don't believe God would impress something on your heart unless there's somebody there that needed that. And if you don't need it tonight, you will. And I can say that from experience, and I hope you'll listen very closely to the Word of God. There's about three parts to this message. Every one of them's got about 7 or 8 points. I won't preach them all, but there are a lot of things that I do want to bring out on it. The book of Luke chapter 7 and verse number 11. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And then I want you to notice these next few verses. And this rumor of him, that wasn't a rumor, that was the truth. A lot of things are not the truth, are rumors. But this is not a rumor, this is the actual truth. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" When the men were come unto him, they said, "John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way, tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor, the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now I want to preach on this subject. What do we tell John? I believe that's the theme of this thought. What are we going to tell John? John had sent unto Jesus. Now remember that John is in prison. And don't get down on him here till you hear me preach. Now if after I get through preaching you want to get down on it, you go ahead and sin against God like that. But I've looked at this passage. What do we tell John? Now really, there's times in your life when it's, what do I tell Lawrence? Or what do I tell Brother Harold here? Because there will be times in your life when you're going to have a message from God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big a preacher you are. I don't care how long you've been preaching. I'll tell you, there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to have a message from God. Now, I want to preach on that subject. Father, would you bless now the reading of thy word. May you, Lord, give us exactly what we need. Lord, we are helpless tonight. If there's one thing that I've learned in preaching, Lord, it's not by might nor by our power, but it's by thy spirit. Though all the work of God must be done. We could help no one tonight, Lord, unless you anoint it. Unless, Lord, you put your power upon the word of God tonight. We pray that you do that now as we look into this man's, this great man's life. Lord, bless your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to start just a little bit and give you a background to John the Baptist. You know that he was prophesied in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 40 said, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was a great man. When I get through tonight, I hope that you'll see that John was a great man. He wasn't just a little nobody out there. He was a great man. And he was so great that God foretold him in prophecy. In the book of Malachi closes with Elijah shall come. And in the days of Jesus, he said, John the Baptist was that Elijah to come, if you can receive that. And so his life starts out in a miraculous way. You remember the story there of his conception. I'll tell you, he was shouting over Jesus before he was ever born. The Bible said that when he was in the womb of his mother and Mary came to visit, that when her salutation was heard, it said that John leaped in his mother's womb for joy. Just didn't leap, but he had a joyous fit. He'd have made some of y'all look sick here this afternoon. I'll tell you, I believe he did belly flops in there. He was joyous at the name of Jesus. And the Bible said that he was out there in the desert until his showing and his appearing unto Israel. And then in the book of Matthew chapter 3, you find him coming out of the wilderness. And let me say this, 400 years had gone by, and there had been no prophet of God. There had been no message of God. Jesus said, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went you out to see? A man in soft clothing? He said, behold, I say, those that are dressed in soft raiment are in kings' palaces. What went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, and more than a prophet. Because I tell you, he said, there's been none born of woman greater than John the Baptist. He was such a high and exalted figure that it pleased God for his dearly begotten son to be baptized by John the Baptist. Somebody came to John and said, are you he that we should look for? Or is there another? Or about Elias, or about Jeremiah? Or are you one of the other prophets? He said, oh no, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. I prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight a pathway in the wilderness. He's a great man. So don't anybody here tonight underestimate the greatness of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, he, Jesus, was preferred before me, for he was before me. And he said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unlace the latchets of his shoes. He's a great man. Now, let me say this, that he had a ministry. And this is where our text comes in. And I want to deal with about seven things that has happened to him. And you'll understand tonight why I'm preaching on what do I tell John. You understand why I title it that, what do I tell John? What do you want us to go tell John? Now remember our text, he is in prison. He has been arrested and placed in prison. Now let me say that number one, for all intents and purposes, His service for God has already been rendered. His ministry, as far as his personal attention to it, is already done. And I'll tell you, it's a frightful thing to think that my ministry, the service that I'm to render God, has been rendered already. And he's in prison. Now the second thing that I noticed about him is the spotlight is now off of him. Now let me say, preachers know how to handle it when they're in the spotlight. They know how to handle it when their service is being rendered. But now his service is actually all finished, and the spotlight is now off of John the Baptist. No one is thinking about John the Baptist. I've known a lot of folks like that. Man's spotlight was great, but when they got out of the spotlight, they didn't know what to do once they got out of the spotlight. And I tell you, preachers, it's a bad thing sometimes when we are the spotlight. Coming over here, my folks were telling me about a church in our town that when the preaching goes on, they got this big stage up here with a big brass band and all this junk. And Brother Lawrence, they got all these spotlights, and when they get ready for service, they turn all the lights off and put the spotlight on the preacher. And I kind of think that's an abomination. They might ought to turn all the lights off and turn the foyer lights on. Because when the spotlight's only on us, then there's something wrong with us. And the spotlight, now here's a great man, but God has let him render his service. Now his support has dwindled. Now I'm painting a picture for you. How many of y'all still with me? For all intents and purposes, his service has been rendered. Spotlight's now off of him, and his support has dwindled. Now to start out with, they were coming by the multitudes to hear him preach. He came out of the wilderness, and everybody went out there and says, "Hey, who is this man that's eating locusts and wild honey and clothed in camel's hair? We need to go out and see him." But that's all vanished away. Now we sometimes handle it when the church is full. Say amen right there. But I tell you, when the crowd gets kindly dwindling, right there is where you're going to find out what you're made of. You see, John the Baptist now, no crowds are gathering around him. His support has dwindled. Now let me go a step farther. Not only has support dwindled, but strife has arisen among his disciples. They come over there and they say, "Hey, John, we heard that Jesus is baptizing more than you are." And the Bible said in John, the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of John, it said there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They've got strife that's risen up among the disciples of John. And number seven, storms have come in his life. Anybody here ever have a storm in your life? He got up one day and he said, "Herod, you're an adulterer. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And buddy, that lit the fire. And I tell you, you're in pretty good shape as long as you don't ruffle any feathers. I've noticed this: as long as a preacher doesn't ruffle any feathers, he'll have a smooth sail in life. If you can get along with the world, and you can get along with the devil's crowd, and you can get along with that fleshly crowd, you won't have any trouble preaching. It's when you call sin, sin. Black, black, white, white. I guarantee you'll have some storms arise. When you jump on some of your parents' little kids and straighten them out, amen, you'll have some storms rise. When you get on mama's little baby there, and you straighten mama's little baby out, mama's going to get mad at you as long as you are going the easy way. You'll never have any storms in your life. But John's got a storm in his life. And now, the sixth thing is his suffering has started. He just getting started. He's beginning to suffer. He finds somebody, comes out there and says, John, you're under arrest. And they lead him down to Herod's prison. And now I'm talking about, now listen, don't lose what I'm preaching. Here is a great man that's born of one among women. There's been no greater. A great servant of God. A great preacher. I believe the church started with the disciples that John baptized. Don't you believe that? I believe every Bible preaching church had its roots in the preaching of John the Baptist. A great man. And yet his suffering has started. And my text now, solitude surrounds him. He's laying over there in an old prison now. And somebody comes and says, John, we went out to town today and Jesus passed by and said he healed a man, raised a man up that was dead. And old John, in that solitude, now you say he's down, and you can use any term you want to preach, but I tell you one thing, you better be careful how you talk about John the Baptist. Now, I'll tell you something, don't think you're above that. Don't anybody think you can't get in the shape that you're going to one of these days look up and say, Lord, are you still there? Lord, do you still hear me? I use my little old grandson. You don't know how many times that's blessed me. I've used it so many times I've wore it out. But my little old grandson was afraid of the dark. And he'd go down to their basement and he'd get down to that first step and I'd hear that little old trembling voice when he's 3 or 4 years old. He'd holler around and said, Poppy, can you hear me from here? And I'd say, yes, son, I can hear you from here. And he'd go down about 3 steps and turn around and said, Poppy, can you hear me from here? I say, yes, son, I can hear you. Go down the basement, that dark, and that little old voice of trembling, almost on the verge of tears. I'd hear him cry, Poppy, can you hear me from here? And I say, yes, son, I can hear you from there. And there's been many a time in my life that I've had to cry out, Lord, can you hear me from here? Can you hear me tonight where I'm at? Lord, I've never been here before. Are you still there? Can you hear me? And I'm glad, oh, thank God, for that blessed voice of the Spirit of God say, hey, son, you never got the way so far that I can't hear you. You never gone so far in your life that I can't hear your voice calling to me. He's in solitude. His life has been destroyed. And he's alone. And he's wondering. He's wondering. I believe it's going through his mind. You know, was my work in vain? Oh, I spent years out there telling, look, there he is. There he is. I behold the Lamb of God that taken away the sin of the world. I was out there when I heard the voice say, this is my beloved son, hear him. I was there to baptize him. I was there to see the glory of God. I baptized people. And now he's wondering, is that all in vain? Sometimes I feel like Saline Baptist Church is one of the strongest churches in the land. And sometimes I feel like it's hanging by a thread. That may not make sense to some of y'all. And you wonder if your work's in vain. Did I accomplish anything? When you survey your life, have you accomplished anything? And here comes his disciples saying, Jesus, John liked to know this. Are you the one? He's over yonder in prison in solitude. Are you the one? Or are we supposed to look for another? And Jesus never did answer that question. He didn't say, oh, go tell him yes. But the message he sent, I believe John knew. Don't you? I believe the message he received. Don't tell him I'm the one. Don't tell him yes. Don't tell him his answer is the affirmative. But go tell him what you've seen happening because of his ministry. Now, let me say this. Are you the one? What shall I tell the old preacher that's gotten old and decrepit? I walked into Brother Grady Lemons' house up in North Carolina, 78 years of age. And when I walked in his house, his wife was in a little sling with her body deformed and drawn in a fetal manner. And Dr. Grady Lemons was in there changing her diaper. His wife, a great man of God. And he came out and said to us, preacher, said, I can't get with you right now, but said, I'll be with you in a minute when I get done. And he changed his little wife's clothes and washed her. And then he came in there and his face was glowing with joy. And we said, Brother Lemons, we've come over here. This missionary here wants you to lay hands on him and pray for him. And I said, I wanted to come with him because I want you to do the same to me. And if you don't like it, you go figure out your theology. Leave mine alone. Amen. I said, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me too. And he said, before I do that, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I left a church over here. And I hadn't pastored for years, but I had a deacon in that church said, preacher, if you ever want to start a church, said, I got 3 acres on the main road, I'll give it to you. And he said, I laid down last night and I dreamed of building a church on that piece of property. And said, I saw the concrete trucks are coming in, and I saw the lumber trucks, and said, I saw the block, and I saw the wood going up, and I saw the nails, and I saw the roof go on, the steeples go on. I saw the doors open and people coming in and people getting saved. And he was sitting there with the fire of God in his heart and soul and the joy of God in his heart after he cleaned his wife and laying in that hammock and clothed her. He had the joy of God in his heart. And he said, I'm going to get up in the morning and go over there and tell that deacon I want that 3 acres of land. And we got a phone call at 5 o'clock the next morning. Brother Lemon's gone home to be with the Lord. And I said, bless God, he died with the fire of God still in his bosom. He died with something burning. He died with a vision for God. You jump on John the Baptist all you want to. I'd like to emulate him. I'd like to be like him. I'd like to have something of what John the Baptist had. Now let me say this tonight. What are you going to do? What are you going to tell that old preacher, missionary, and pastor when maybe his best years are past? That's going to happen to us. Sure it is. You already know some that's going on. Somebody mentioned Harold Seitler. Oh, I've heard Harold Seitler preach many a sermon. I can still shout over his message on the grace of God. If you never heard that message, you ain't heard preaching yet. Old Mephibosheth. Man, I've heard him preach. Oh my, the power of God upon him. But you know, he got aged and decrepit. Did you know that? He got to where his his jaws and the muscles in his jaws wouldn't even work. And I went and heard him preach one time, and he'd get tired and those muscles would deteriorate and he'd slur his words out until finally he quit preaching for a few months. My daughter was there the first time that he preached after that. And he got up to preach and he said, "Now I'm going to preach until my voice begins to slur and then my grandson's going to come." And he got up there and preached for 15 minutes and his words got to slurring and he got his grandson. He came up there and started his grandson started preaching. And Brother Seitler sat down on the bench and about 15 minutes he got to feeling better and he got his grandson by the coattail and said, "Sit down, son, I'll finish this up." And my little old daughter called me that night and said, "Boy, Dad, you love that church I went to tonight." Said, "They's a shouting all over the place." Said, "They's a running the aisles and praising God." You know what he had in him? He still had God. He had something of God in him. He had some power in him. What are you going to tell an old preacher like that when he's old and decrepit and maybe his best years are past? When trouble has risen, what are you going to tell him? Anybody here ever had trouble in church? You ain't preached if you hadn't. Man, if I had everybody's left saline, wouldn't be a building big enough in Somerset to hold them. What are you going to tell somebody when all their friends have gone? And you will lose friends if you preach the word. It's amazing how people get offended when you stand for the King James anymore. I never dreamed I'd see the day when you would separate friendships. Isn't that amazing? And you get to preaching these non-inspired Bibles and you get up and expose them. Well, I've known preachers taking off a radio because they exposed it. You know, somebody's got a radio station and they're using all these perverted verses. They don't like somebody to get on there and preach the Word of God because, you see, that may offend some of their mighty contributors. And that's a happening, folks. You know, we're going to see the day when we can't get up and preach on sodomy. Already got Bibles that took it out. Male prostitute. What that the NIV puts that? Male prostitute. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to soften down the word. So people will swallow that wicked, abominable sin in the eyes of God. And there'll be a time when you'll preach it and somebody in your church has got a son or daughter wrapped up in that. And you'll separate friends. What are you going to do when the wells are dried up? And when the work is at a standstill. I've pastored when it was at a standstill. I've gone 6 months without seeing somebody saved. And it ain't joyous. And then I've gone 6 months when people get saved every Sunday. What are you going to do when it's at a standstill? What are you going to do when it's out of season? Amen? It'll get out of season somewhere. But I'm glad, thank God, keep on preaching. Because if you keep on preaching, it'll get in season again. Yes, sir. I've been rabbit hunting when I didn't see a thing. But it didn't keep me from hunting. And I've been fishing when I didn't bring a thing home. But it didn't keep me from fishing. You understand? Because I had the hope that if I continued in it, that sooner or later, I would hit the jackpot. Amen. What are you going to do when discouragement has set in? And when your usefulness seems small? When you're laying on the hospital bed? I've had church members in my church that got to that point. I've had my sister Redmond, Brother Downs knew her, my shouting Baptist, that'd run up and down the aisles and shout, and Brother Kenneth, she'd make you look like an amateur. Hey man, she'd get that handkerchief out and not shout if she could help it, but if she couldn't help it, she'd help it all she could. That was her saying. I like that philosophy, don't you? But I saw her get on the time when she was on the bed and couldn't lift her head off the bed and went to heaven that way. But she didn't lose her usefulness. I'd go in there and she'd grab my hand and boy, just praise God. Pray for me. You better not take lightly some of them old ladies in your church praying for you. You better think this, they're probably doing more good than I am. You understand? Thank God. Just because the world says you're not useful anymore, don't you think that God feels the same way? Here's John the Baptist now. Now let me say this. What do I tell John? What can I tell John? Here's what he said very quickly. Tell him, John, miracles are happening. That cheer you up, won't it? Miracles are happening. Boy, you ought to see what we saw today. We saw a boy get off up out of a casket and start walking. What a miracle. Amen. Every time I see a soul saved, this boy is just a picture of a sinner that has no power to get up by himself. And it takes the power of God. That's a miraculous work that God does. Go tell John, miracles are happening. Go tell John, message is still being preached. I like that, don't you? I'm not the first one, I won't be the last one. When my little voice lays silent, thank God, God have a one better mind to raise up. When I close my voice preaching the gospel, there'll be another person take up the message. Tell him there's a manifestation of God's glory everywhere. Tell him God's Son's getting glorified. Man, that'll cheer you up, won't it? He must, John preached this, he must increase. I must decrease. You tell him that Jesus, his glory is increasing, and everywhere people are seeing manifestations of it. Tell him that multitudes are being fed. Boy, did I get a plate full this week. If you ain't got something here this week, friend, I don't know whether you got anything or to get it in or not. You might just need to get saved if you hadn't got anything. I tell you, we've heard the preacher of the Word of God, and I got fed, and I will tell you, I believe this. I believe the Lord Jesus reached down and put some bread in your mouth and put some living water in your mouth and put some new wine down in you today. Multitudes are being fed. Tell him that mercy is still being extended. Everywhere he goes, he's having somebody cry out for mercy. Well, we just passed a fellow the other day that cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And said, you know what? While we was passing by, he stood still and said, have him to be brought to me. And mercy was extended. That's what you tell John. And I close with this. Tell him that his ministry lives on. Tell him we got disciples everywhere now. Tell him they're getting baptized. Why, tell him they're running all over this country telling about Jesus. And said, John, the ministry you got started, just now getting started good. It's living on. I tell you, it's a joyous thing. Some of you preachers know what I'm talking about. It's a joyous thing when you look back at your ministry
And you can see a boy over here preaching and a boy over here preaching and somebody over yonder preaching. I said, I've got three boys that we've sent out of our church within 10 miles of me in different directions. And somebody said, aren't you scared that he'll steal, they'll steal from you? I said, no, sir, that don't bother me a bit. Now, I look for it one of these days, you know, when we get a bunch mad and run off with one of theirs. But I believe they got enough God in them to say, we don't want you. I went over and preached to one of them. I said, now, don't y'all get mad over here and come over to Celine because we won't take you. You can put a stop to that. Brother Billy Miller, I said, now, we don't take members from Brother Billy's church. He preaches the same thing I preach. If they get mad at him, they'll be mad at me for long. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but that straightened a lot of this mess out. You know what I'm telling you is the truth. Somebody, don't get all huffy out of mommy looking at me. Look up this way. I'm telling you the truth. It's a joy to look back as years go by preaching, see somebody over here on a mission field. I see some boy, God gets a hold of his heart and calls him to preach. To see your daughters are serving God. To see your children serving God. Now John said, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth. You go tell John, his ministry lives on. Don't get mad at John. He's a great man. He's greater than me and you. Amen. And you know, some of y'all need a message today that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. I don't care how black it looks sometimes and how dark it may get. If you're serving the King of Kings, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing. Due season you'll reap if you'll faint not. I want to tell you, John's a great man. Now there's somebody right here this morning, or this night really, somebody right here that I could go over these things that I've mentioned. You're going through them. You're out in the middle of a storm. Strife has arisen. Suffering has started. And you're sitting over some old corner in solitude wondering. Wondering, am I in the will of God? He was just as much in the will of God where he was as when he was in the water bringing Jesus up out of it. He was in the will of God. Amen. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here's the key to what I've been preaching tonight. He must increase, but we must decrease. Amen. I want us to stand tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed.